Arizona sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up to his law. On this Wednesday afternoon, good afternoon, and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
Enjoying this Diamondbacks game, 3-1, top of the fifth right now.
Eliminate the San Francisco Giants.
They
lose this game, the Giants are toast.
If they lose this game, the Giants are toast. It's just, you know, I am not superstitious. I'm not even a little stitious, but for some reason on this one, I'm being a little weird about this. I just don't want to speak anything and see it go wrong. But should they hold on to win this game, I would agree with you. Giants are out, and the Reds might be playing their way out. They lost again today to the Minnesota Twins. This might be a three-team, 4-2 spot race.
It could be
here in 24 hours.
Yeah, it could be Cubs, D-backs, Marlins, two get in, one don't.
Yep. Yeah, two men, three men enter, two men leave, kind of thing. Yeah, which is not exactly how the line goes, but yeah. So we're going to talk all about last night's game coming up in just a little bit, because obviously there was a lot to talk about. We're going to get you caught up on everything going on in this game today. But it's 3-1, and Corbin Carroll has already hit a little bit of a milestone in this game, and Merrill Kelly is still out there in the fifth inning pitching. We'll get you caught up on all of that. But one word hangs over today's Burns and Gambo show. The word of the day is soon.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Kyler Murray says soon.
Soon. A presto. A presto.
Is that what it means in Italian?
Soon.
A presto. Yeah. Soon.
Ci vediamo a presto. I'll see you soon.
Kyler Murray went TikTok today. Sent out a video.
Oh, was it TikTok?
It was TikTok, yeah. Sent out. You're not on the TikTok, are you?
No, I'm not on the TikTok.
I'm not on the tick or the talk. You want to see the tick. You want to see the talk. You want to go hickory dickory dock. Whatever you want to do. At ArizonaSports.com, we've got a link to the story where you can see the TikTok video that was posted today. And it's Kyler Murray doing, and the word Wolf used to describe it earlier was just absolutely completely accurate. The mundane task of doing squats. He's got a single dumbbell.
Yes.
And he's doing like almost like a goblet kind of squat.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty heavy weight. And within the video, I mean, there's other words there as well, but within the video, it ends with just one word, soon.
The other thing I took out of the video was how much he misses playing right now, because he's never been injured, never had a major injury. Now I'm not playing, and I really miss it. So that was, I was able to take that. But let's talk about soon.
Let's talk about soon. I've got the words that he wrote beyond soon, but let's talk about soon first, because we don't want to bury the lead.
They're two games into the season.
Yeah.
You got two games coming up against Dallas and the 49ers. Soon to me means he's going to be activated after that 49er game. Now, we have no confirmation. I'm trying to find some stuff out. But if he's saying soon, to me, it's not like, hey, I'm 6 weeks away. Soon means once I'm able to come off this damn injured list, I'm going to come off this injured list.
There were reports that he didn't want to go on the PUP list in the first place. There were reports that behind the scenes, and I can't remember exactly who said what or who reported what or anything like that, but I do remember reading right about the time they put him on the PUP list that he didn't want to go on it, that he didn't want to close the door of him being available for those first four games of the season. Now, being on the PUP list, he has to be out for Dallas. He has to be out for San Francisco.
Right.
Potentially the soonest he could be back.
Chargers.
Bengals.
That's right. Bengals.
So you get your 0-2.
I got my 0-2 teams.
Underwhelming AFC teams with good quarterbacks.
Got them
confused. Yeah.
Bengals.
Cincinnati in week 5 would be theoretically the soonest soon could be.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your theory, though, because if I'm
going to sit there and tell somebody I'm coming back soon, I'm like, it's like I'm ready now, but I can't get back because I still got two more weeks. But I'm going to be there. Like, again, we don't know anything. I'm trying to find some stuff out, but I I don't think that this would mean that he stays on the injured list. I would think that this means he's there.
Yeah.
He's there. He's ready. Soon.
I'm not willing to go quite that far yet, but I will say this. I know this for a fact. Before the season started, we had to do a little write-up for ArizonaSports.com, okay. And we had to predict when we thought Kyler was going to be back.
Yeah.
Okay? I said week 10. It's going to be way before that. I don't know when way before that, but I think it's going to... I think soon. Soon isn't week 10.
The fact that he's out there now talking... Okay, what was the other thing he said? I won't let us down.
Yeah, I got that. So here's the rest...
Go ahead.
Here's the rest of what was on the video. And it was, again, it was words on the screen. It wasn't him speaking into the camera. I tore my ACL 8 months ago. This is the only major injury I've had. I've never missed the game like this. I'm itching to get back. You learn a lot about yourself in these types of moments. To those who ride with me, support me, speak up for me, I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. I won't let us down.
I won't let us down. I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to let me down. I've been working at this for 8 months now. I'm getting close now. You still got this week. You still have next week. So, you know, maybe by the time he comes back, it's 9 months. But I've never missed. I'm itching to get back. I'm ready to get back. I don't think you post that video if you're 6 weeks away, 7 weeks away.
See, that I think that's logical.
It doesn't make sense to do that.
I don't know if that means he's going to be back in 2 weeks, but I think there's a lot of logic to what you just said.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to post that if you're 6 weeks away. It makes sense to post it when you're nearing the end. The end is a week from Sunday. So what's today? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? 11 days.
11 days.
That's soon.
Yeah.
That's soon. In 11 days, this is over, and I can get back now. Maybe he gets back, and now you got to get up to par, and you got to practice.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know that they throw him out there and just right away. It might be that there's somebody else starts, Joshua Dobbs starts week 5
mm-hmm.
against the Bengals because they want to give him 2 weeks of practice time. I think it's a fair question for Jonathan Gannon when we get him on the show next week is when Kyler does come off the list, how much of a ramp up do you need for him? He gets studying the playbook all day long, but you've got to get some practices under
your
belt.
And I'm going to take a stab in the dark at this one and guess that you don't really know the answer to that until you actually see him on a practice field. You know, until you actually see him playing football to know how much actual football work he needs to go through before he's ready to play. The schedule looks like this. So no Dallas, no San Francisco. Home against the Bengals. That would be technically the first week he'd be able to play coming off the PUP list if he does.
That's a road game, right?
No, it's here. Home against Cincinnati.
He's home.
At the Rams.
Okay.
At the Seahawks. Home against Baltimore. Those are the three games after Cincinnati. At the Rams. At Seattle. Home against Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's where
it
stands.
It pisses me off in a way, too. You know how many decent NFL reporters were saying that Kyler Murray's not going to play this year? No, really, it does. It kind of ticks me off. Like, this shows you just how these people are not held accountable. How many people said, I'm hearing Kyler Murray's going to miss the whole season. Cardinals are going to keep him out all year.
I'm trying to think who is the most prominent one. Rubes, do you remember who the most prominent was?
I think Mike Lombardi talked about it with like Arizona wanting to avoid an injury risk and having to pay Kyler Moore if he actually plays.
It sparked a memory now. It was Florio. It was Florio at Pro Football Talk.
Okay, he's wrong more than he's right.
Yeah, he was the one who was really taking out the spoon and stirring up the pot, right?
Cardinals fans do not like him right now.
I like Florio's work. I like his website. And there's a butt coming, but it does seem like the last couple of months he's had a little bit of an axe to grind with the Arizona Cardinals. It really does.
Yeah, did he ask for tickets to a game and they told him no? I got my family in town. Can you get me 4 tickets to a game? No, you can pay for them.
But it's been it's just been such an anti-everything card. From the minute the crew went to Norman, Oklahoma for the statue unveiling.
Right, which is so stupid.
Which was so stupid to make an issue out of it. Ever since then, it's just been...
He's not the only one, Bernsey. There were others that were speculating. And again, it's bad journalism. You're speculating he's going to miss the season. You don't know.
Yeah.
Unless somebody tells you, hey, there's a good chance he's going to miss the season. And you say, hey, what I'm hearing is there's a good chance. You don't guess at stuff like that. You don't guess he's going to miss the season. We don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I've had so many people ask me because of fantasy football, hey, when do you think Kyler Murray's going to be back? I don't know. Do you think he's going to miss the my opinion is no. I think he's going to play. I think he has to play. But there were a lot of people out there that were pushing that narrative that Kyler was going to miss the season.
Rubes.
We need you to teach a journalism class at Cronkite, Gambo, so people aren't going out there and making these false reports.
I will gladly teach a class.
Professor Gambo.
I will gladly teach a class.
Paging Paula Bovin, pick up line one. Professor.
Paula, you want me on that wall?
You need me on that wall.
Now, Mitch, why would you be saying no? I've had a very successful career.
I'm just
why would you
to be
say
the Pope
no?
Fun guy, that's all.
No, would I not be a good teacher in class?
It would also be funny that the first time you go into college would be you teaching everybody.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
That'd be irony right there.
Not learning, but teaching.
I never thought I'd be here, says Gambo, as he looks around the Cronkite School, or any college for that matter.
Maybe that's why I don't get invited back to college classes. I used to go talk to him, and I'd say, hey, first thing I'll tell you, I didn't go to college. You don't need it.
That might have a little something to do with it.
You know, maybe we shouldn't have this guy back.
All this stuff you're spending money on, you don't need it.
Listen, I never went to college. Look where I am right now. I've got a great career. I make a lot of money. I'm having a good life. I don't need this.
If Paula, the director of the Cronkite School, and former columnist over at AZ Central, if she was listening and actually thinking of putting in a call, I think she just decided to pull the plug on that. She said, you know what? Never mind. Yeah. I'm good.
Lesson one, money equals happiness. Any questions?
Yeah. No,
the more money you make, the happier you are.
Hold on. I'm going to call Gambo out. I'm going to call you out, man.
Yeah, why? What'd
I say? I'm calling you out. Because 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we were invited to speak at one of the classes at Cronkite, and you said no. We were invited.
I did do classes. I did speak at Cronkite.
I don't want to do that because I don't want to get up that early. Those were your
exact words.
That's
why. It was like a 7 a.m. I did a Josh Rawich class. It was more like 10 a.m. I didn't want to do the 7 a.m. class.
I'm like, yeah,
you did.
I'll be there. Gambo doesn't want to do it because he needs his beauty rest, apparently.
Well, that's early. Like, you know.
One last thing on the Kyler thing. If he comes back, if soon is as soon as you say, or maybe even a little after that, we're going to have to readjust the success level of the Cardinals this year. I'm telling you, we're going to have to.
By how many games?
Because they're not as bad as we think they are. They're playing more competitively than we thought they were going
they
to.
They are. They are, but they also haven't played good teams yet.
But their defense, especially with the defensive line, Kyler might not even be able to overcome that. I just think they're playing at a more competitive level, and him coming back sooner, we might have to readjust our eye level a little bit in terms of where
how many
games they could win.
All
yeah,
right.
Possibly. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, while Gambo waits for the invite to go speak to the Cronkite School, 4 in a row for the Diamondbacks. Can they make it 5? Can they eliminate not one, but
5-2
teams today? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Dan Bickley here, and nothing much better for Valley sports fans than eliminating a team from L.A. or San Francisco. Can the Diamondbacks drive a stake in the heart of the Giants? We'll tell you all about it starting at 6 on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
3-1, bottom of the 6. Diamondbacks beating the Giants right now at Chase Field last night.
Here's the 0-2 from Seawald to Sable. And he struck him out swinging, and the Diamondbacks got a win over the Giants tonight by final score of 8-4, as Seawald has a quick 10-pitch 1-2-3-9 for the D-backs.
Breaking news. Oh. Paul Sewald had a 1-2-3-9
inning.
Seriously,
that might have been the most extraordinary thing that happened all last night.
Paul Sewald had a 1-2-3-9 inning.
All the things that happened last night, I'm like, damn, that was quick.
Listen, he's been good for them. I mean, listen, he's getting the job done.
He's been a high wire act.
I'll take him.
One wonky moment from things getting really sideways.
He's got a 3.78 ERA. He's pitched in 19 games.
Look at the base runners.
Look at
the base runners.
His whip is 1.50. I get it. But he's got 12 saves. In what, 14 opportunities, I think? 12 and 14?
I think so, yeah.
I'll take it.
I think that's what it is. He's been effective.
What was great about it, you got the highlight of that double steal that went crazy because they can't play defense in San Francisco.
Oh, I got Torrey Lovello on the double steal. I don't have the play of the double steal.
You don't have the play?
I can tell Mitch is efforting.
Here's the pitch where the runner's going. Bailey down to third, and Carroll gets in safely as the ball gets away. And now Carroll's coming to the plate, and he's safe. The ball gets away. Here comes Marte. Throw to the plate. He's safe. Oh, what exciting baseball by the Diamondbacks.
Lupus throws it to Ahmad. He throws it to Engelbert. He throws it to Chico.
Who's the second baseman? Chico's bail bonds. I forgot the little camera.
The two little brothers, whatever their names were. Yeah, I mean, that was the Bad News Bears last night. I mean, Wilmer Flores, first of all, you catch it, he's out at third. Second of all, if you make a good throw, he's out at home. They should have had him out twice. Two errors by Wilmer Flores.
Yeah.
I said this yesterday. They're the worst defensive team in baseball by a lot. They make more errors than anybody, and they did that last night. Two errors on one play. He scored. Carroll scores. Marte scores. I can't believe that Carroll took off for home.
Well, he ran through a stop sign.
I can't believe that.
Did you see Parrish Chica like, nope, stop,
well, he
stop,
got
stop.
To third, and he kind of hesitated. He thought, like, and he didn't. Then he looked up. He saw the ball was away. He just went.
Playing his day. Tony Parrish Chica is standing about 10 yards away, like, don't go. Stop.
Please
and he
don't
ran
go.
Right through it.
Right through it.
Right
scores.
Through it.
Ball gets thrown away. They don't even make another throw. Marte scores. I mean, the Giants throwing the ball around. I mean, honestly, like, they're the Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
And the Diamondbacks are able to overcome what was not a good performance by Zach Allen. It was okay. Mm. A little shaky. Two runs in the first. Gave up that Peterson bomb, the triple, and then I started walking everybody in that last inning.
Oh, that fifth inning, he threw 36 pitches.
You got to walk.
He couldn't locate anything. He couldn't throw his fastball. He couldn't throw his curveball. And you could tell, man, he was wearing it, too. That look of frustration on his face.
Exactly why yesterday in the poll I said, I'll take Merrill Kelly over Zach Gallen on who I trust more to have a better outing.
Back to the double steal, Torey Lovello after the game. Call it chaos. Good D-backs chaos.
It was powerful. You know, I'm not sure. Maybe Corbin would have been out. It was an aggressive slide, and that's all timing. You know, it's based on a couple of checkpoints that we've targeted and identified. And he did a really good job. You know, good throw. You know, a timing play between the catcher and third baseman, just trying to meet one another at the bag with a throw. Corbin kind of gets in the middle of it and disrupts it. And the next thing you know, I don't know what happened. I just blinked my eyes and we scored a couple runs. So it happened that fast.
He said later it was one of those plays like one of those things.
I don't even think they need a third base coach for Corbin Carroll. I'm Torey Lovello. I'm just Tony. Just listen. Relay a sign if we got a hit and run on, or if we're gonna bunt or something. But that kid will make up his mind whether he's gonna go or not.
Yeah. Even Brenly during the broadcast last night was also pointing out kind of the same thing you were during yesterday's show, that defense is so bad. Run.
Terrible.
Put pressure on them. Put the ball in play and make them make a good play, because what was the stat that you rolled out last night? That the Giants have like twice as many errors as the Diamondbacks do this year. Make them make a play. Make them catch the ball and throw the ball, and they couldn't do it. Now, okay, so they win last night.
I'll give this stat to you in a second. I'll look it up because it's fascinating just how bad they are as a baseball team.
They turned three inning double plays last night. They had 8 runs, 13 hits. It was that their bullpen was once again absolutely rock solid last night. More than double. The
Giants have 109 errors. The Diamondbacks have 52.
Let's have the Zach Gallen conversation, though.
I'm worried about.
So am I.
I'm worried about if they get to the postseason, their chances of winning were very much dependent on Gallen and Kelly being able to be dominant. Yeah. And now, to the point. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe what I'm saying here.
Okay, hold on. Let me make sure. Okay, yeah, I'm sitting
down. Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down. I'm prepared.
And right now it's scheduled that Gallen and Kelly will pitch the game 1 and game 2 against Houston. Somebody else will pitch game 3.
I know what you're going to say.
Which would mean somebody else would start game 1 of the playoffs. I'm starting Merrill Kelly game 2. I'm going to have to, if it works out to where I cannot start Gallen or Kelly in game 1 of a playoff situation.
You're starting Gallen ahead of Kelly?
I'm starting Kelly in game 2, Gallen in game 3.
What if there's no game 3? You really want to end your season with your Cy Young candidate pitcher on the bench, not throwing at all in a best of three series?
I've got Kelly going in game 2.
Yeah, but you.
Yes. Yes. Well, right now, I guess, I'll take Merrill Kelly over Gallen.
Okay, all right. I'm going to rewind.
Neither one can pitch in game 1.
And I was just going to say that. If you rewind, neither one can pitch in game 1.
If neither one can pitch in game one,
then you're obviously not going to roll one of them out there in game 1.
I go Kelly in game 2.
Okay.
I have more faith in Merrill Kelly than I do in Zach Gallen.
I don't think that's that crazy. I think.
Okay, thank you.
Is it
crazy?
No.
You guys think it's crazy?
No. Not with the way that Gallen's been pitching recently either.
He looks crispy.
He looks really does.
Tired.
He looks crispy. He looks tired.
Walking a lot of batters.
Frustrated. I mean, he got into trouble quick. Now, Corbin Carroll didn't help him. He kind of misplayed that first one. But then he gives up the home run to Peterson. And then he was great in the second, third, and fourth inning. He was fantastic. I mean, he was almost untouchable. But that fifth inning was such a train wreck. And I worry that he is
gassed. How many walked that inning?
Walked three?
Two or three?
I think he walked three.
Three?
I think he walked three guys in the fifth
pitches.
Inning.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
worried he's gassed.
If I'm Torrey, I'm trying to line this up now where I've got Kelly going before Gallen in a playoff game. Now, you still got to get to the playoffs. I know
it. You got to get there.
But I would line up Kelly before I would go Gallen.
Yeah. You got to get there. Today, they are winning 3-1. Merrill Kelly's got a runner in scoring position at second base one out.
He's pitching a gem.
He's pitching very, very well. He's gone 6 1/3. He's given up 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. He's given up a home run to Lamont Wade Jr.
He's pitching a hell of a baseball game.
But he's got, and he might, nope, that ball went foul. So he's still dealing with a runner at second, trying to get done.
He's about to complete
with the seventh
seven.
Inning. Yeah, let's see what happens with his runner at second. Corbin Carroll, 3 for 3 today, 2 runs scored, 2 stolen bases. Okay. He's got 50 stolen bases on the season. A 24 homer, 50 stolen base season.
Wow.
He becomes just the third player in Diamondbacks history to steal 50 bases in a season. Womack and
say Diamondback,
the third player in D-backs history to steal 50 bases in a season, joining Tony Womack and Ruby knows.
I'm giving you a hint, Gambo.
I don't know who is it.
I'm pointing towards myself, Eric Burns.
Oh, God.
Could have been me, too.
That's your way. Yeah, it's a combination there. Yeah. Like,
who was that at 50 stolen bases? Yeah.
I thought he was referring to Steve Miller, that famous Diamondback, right?
No, not that guy. Yeah, those are the only two with 50 stolen bases.
Wow.
He joined the club today. So 3-1. And yeah, if you look at the standings, Giants right now are 3 back of the last spot. Look like a ground out. So now there's 2 out with a runner at third for Merrill Kelly. Giants are 3 out of the last spot. A win today for the Diamondbacks, they would have the tiebreaker over San Francisco, and they'd create even more separation. The Reds lost again today. That's back-to-back losses. They're a game and a half out of the last wild card spot. Not a game and a half out of the Diamondbacks.
Out of the
game
wild
and a half
card
out of the last
spot.
Wild card spot.
Might be a three-team race for 2 spots between the Cubs, the Marlins, and the D-backs, because the D-backs are about to put a fork in the Giants right now.
Text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620. Yeah, it's only in the seventh
inning.
Wilmer
Flores is up. He has a pension for big home runs, so just be careful with that.
Only in the seventh. We still have a ways to go in this game. The best team in the NFL is who? And are they invading State Farm Stadium this week, or are the Cardinals playing them next week? That's what's on tap next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Hey, it's Luke. Every game matters for the Arizona Diamondbacks right now, so what exactly separates them from the other contenders in the National League? We get going tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports 98.7.
Yeah, Merrill Kelly walked Wilmer Flores, and they pulled him out of the game. Ryan Thompson came in and got a strikeout to end the seventh inning. So we are going into the bottom of the seventh right now. The Diamondbacks still hanging on to a 3-1 lead over the San Francisco Giants. Again, complete coverage of that game on ESPN 620. We, of course, will keep you completely, totally updated on every single thing that happens in that game right here on the Burns and Gambo Show. If you want to keep it here, I promise you we will never get too far. We won't let the game get too far without telling you what's going on. If you look at all the power rankings, and I mean power rankings are power rankings, take them for what they are. There's a consensus at the bottom, and it's the Arizona Cardinals. Although I did see somebody on social media today, I guess Fox Sports put out their power rankings today, and the Cardinals were 30th.
Nice. Who's behind them? Houston?
I didn't see. You know what? Okay. I didn't click the link. I would Carolina, Chicago, Houston. I mean, maybe one of those teams. But then at the very top, I mean, there's very little debate about the Cardinals' next two opponents that they've got to play, and it's San Francisco and it's Dallas. Dallas this week, the Niners next week. They are the consensus 2 of the top 3 teams in the NFL, 2 of the top 4 teams in the NFL. Your guy, Adam Schein, asked the question today on NFL.com if the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the NFL, and his answer was no, they're not.
No, they're not. No, and I would agree with that. I wouldn't say that they're the best team in the NFL right now. I would say they have the best defense in the NFL right now. But they've got some competition when it comes to who's the best team in the league. I mean, the Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions. They're 2-0. The 49ers are 2-0 right now. I wouldn't say there's a long list of teams. Kansas City did lose that opener to the Chiefs, but they got Chris Jones back. So they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I still think that Kansas City could be a better football team than them. Miami Dolphins. Whoo! That offense. Say it.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Corbin Carroll just hit a solo home run.
There you go.
4-1.
Rookie of the year.
Have a series, kid.
Wrap up that rookie of the year.
I don't mean to interrupt you at all. Corbin Carroll, I believe, is 6-for-8 in this series with 4 singles, a double, a homer, 5 runs, 3 RBI, and 3 stolen bases in 2 games. Go get him, kid.
Wow. And according to ESPN Stats and Info, he's the first rookie ever with a 20 home run, 50 stolen base season.
Wow. Fantastic.
Anyway, say that one again.
First rookie ever, according to ESPN Stats and Info, with 20 home run season along with 50 stolen bases.
How many home runs does he have now?
I think he's 25.
That'd be 25 then. You wouldn't say 20.
Posted it before he got the home run.
Oh, yeah. With 20 and, yeah. Now it's 25 and 50.
Yeah.
Incredible year.
Yeah. Incredible year. Incredible series in these two games where they absolutely. And his power has been a little non-existent as of late. I think he'd only had like 3 home runs in his last 180 or so at bats. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt your thought.
The Cowboys have a listen. For the Cowboys, like, they might be the best team in the NFL when all is said and done. They might be, but it's hard to judge them off of, you know, playing the Jets and the Giants, and you know, we'll see. And I don't think you get now. We'll know. We'll get a better understanding in the 2 weeks. That come on October 8th and October 16th. They go back-to-back on the road against the against the 49ers and the Chargers. Okay, so now you're playing good teams. You beat the 49ers on the road in Dallas. Okay, all right, you've got our attention. You follow that up with a win against the Chargers. Okay, you got our attention. They've got the Eagles on November 5th on the road at the Eagles. They play the Eagles twice. Of course, they're in the same division. They got to play at Buffalo and at Miami later in the season. So they'll be tested. Be tested. They're not going 17-0. They're not going 16-1. They're not going 15-2. They're not even going 14-3. They're going to lose some games here. So I think it all depends on how they play against these other teams. So it's hard to tell now.
Yeah, it's look. I know we had the conversation yesterday. Who's the worst 0-2 team in the NFL? Is it the Cardinals? Is it the Bears? Is it somebody else? It's in reality. That's a really hard conversation to have after 2 weeks in the NFL. Are the Cowboys the best team in the? I don't know. I know they played the Jets with Zach Wilson at quarterback, you know, and I know that team beat the Bills in week one. I get that. And I know we don't know what the Giants are. We don't know how good they're going to be. We don't know any of that stuff. All I know is the next two teams that are coming in here, or the next two teams that's on the schedule for the Cardinals, are two of the three or four best teams in the NFL so far, right? And whether it's the Cowboys this week or the Niners next week, you are playing two of the five best teams in the NFL in the next 2 weeks, and that's a tall, tall order. Now,
look, I think the same thing. If you can win this season is not going to be judged as much by wins and losses. I think for ASU, the same thing, too. But, man, it'd be nice to get a signature win here or there. Like, that could go a long way towards, you know, helping the fans out with a long season.
Sure.
With a lot of get a signature win. For ASU, go beat somebody. Go beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. For the Cardinals, like, same thing. Like, go beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. Like, they can play the Cowboys tough and everybody be happy. Look, they played hard. They played tough. They may get blown out, which we probably expect is going to happen. But you get a signature win, something you can look back on and everybody can look back on, that'd be great.
I don't know why I'm about to say this.
Yeah.
I think it will happen for the Cardinals. I don't think it'll happen for ASU this year. I think the Cardinals will beat somebody because it's the NFL, right? The NFL is a week-by-week proposition where everything changes. You never really know for sure what's going to happen in the NFL. I think when we get to the end of this journey, the Cardinals will have beaten somebody that they're not supposed to beat. I don't feel that way about ASU football. I don't think they will. I think they've got a long way to go. And I think their quarterback situation, if they redshirt Jaden Rashad, I think they've got a long, long way to go. Whereas I think the Cardinals, just because they play in the NFL and the NFL stuff happens every single week that's hard to explain, they'll get theirs. I don't know if it's this week. I don't know if it's next. But I think at some point, they'll beat a team they're not supposed to beat. They'll beat a team that we go, oh, wow, didn't see that one coming. Wasn't expecting that.
Right.
They will.
Right.
They will.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
5-1.
I think they'll get
one. 5-1.
5-1?
Ketel Marte.
On another one?
Ketel Marte solo home run. 5-1.
He had four hits yesterday.
Ketel Marte.
He had four hits yesterday.
I don't even know if you can say he's quietly having a good year because it hasn't been that quiet. He's had a really good year.
Did they just go... Nope.
Double.
Double for Christian Walker.
Who's been struggling.
Who's
been struggling lately, but he's also had a really good year overall.
Feasting on the Giants.
Somebody said... Who was it who wrote? You sent me a story today that Christian Walker has had, under the radar, one of the better years in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah, they did talk about him like being a great defensive first baseman. But yeah, there was a story and it said, which player, 10 players whose 23 seasons deserve more love. And it says Christian Walker. May I interest you in baseball's best defensive first baseman with back-to-back 30-plus homer seasons? Because Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson exist, and because the D-backs are really in the spotlight, and because when you do think about them, you think about Corbin Carroll, Walker gets overlooked. But he's having, he's been in a slump. He had been in a slump, but overall, he's been a very productive overall player.
Ridge Rider Days is heading back to Desert Diamond Arena on September 29th through October 1st. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now for your chance to experience the thrill of electrifying bull riding. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You have to do your job and ask, and I'll do my job and not answer.
Mike Hazen, you knew he was going to go there about the Red Sox question. We'll play more from him next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Ruby's here. He's got our Twitter poll question of the day, our social media poll question of the day. Rube, take it away. What do you got for us?
Just how soon is soon? That's our question for the day. Kyler Murray posted a video of him rehabbing that ended with that word, soon. When do you think he makes his return to the field? Is it as early as possible he's on the field week 5? That's your first option. Second option is week 6 or 7, then week 8 or 9, and then the later end, week 10 and beyond. So 5, 6 or 7, 8 or 9.
6 or 7.
10 plus.
6 or 7. Got to get him up to, you can't just throw him out there. He's not going to come off the injured list and start that next week. He's got to get some practices.
6 or 7 for me to... I think with a lean towards 7 and not 6.
Oh, even with the lean.
Even with the lean.
You didn't have to give a lean.
I know, I didn't. But with a lean towards 7, because something, Ruby, he sent me a message, and I'll let you share with the audience here, but you sent me a message in Teams that got me thinking that soon might not be as soon as Kyler wants it to be.
Right.
Share, what are the results so far? What we got?
So the results, 37.9% are rolling with you guys, saying week 6 or 7. The second highest option significantly at 31.1% is week 5. In third place at 17.4% is week 10 and beyond. 13.7% say week 8 or 9. But I'm kind of leaning 8 or 9, and I'm thinking about 10 plus because players are always 10 times more eager to get back on the field than the training staff and the coaches are to get them back out there. And I don't think the Cardinals are going to sit Kyler Murray because they don't want him to get injured. But I don't think the day that Kyler Murray says, I'm good to go, is going to be the day that he's out there. I think they're going to hold on to him for a little bit longer, make sure he's fully healthy, maybe give him a couple weeks in practice off the pup, week 8 or 9.
I think there's some logic to that.
Just because he said soon doesn't mean he's going to be back week 5.
It's not up to him, you know? It's not up to him.
Partially. If he says he's good to go.
That's half of it.
But if he's medically cleared. But they want to get him out. They want to get him practices under his belt.
The trainers are going to want to make sure. The organization's going to want to make sure. They're not going to hold him back and not play him. We have established that already. But I think it soon for him might have a different meaning than soon for them. And I do think that's a good point. I don't know if it's all the way to week 10. But I think that's a good point. You can find the poll question all of our social stuff on Facebook, Instagram, X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Burns and Gambo is where you can find us. We're even on the Tick and the Talk at Arizona Sports 98.7.
The Tick and the Talk.
The Tick and the Talk, both if you want them to find us there. Mike Hazen.
You have to do your job and ask, and I'll do my job and not answer.
That was Mike Hazen, general manager of the Diamondbacks.
Ooh,
today.
A little rough.
No, I'll play the whole cut, but he
he said, I'm happy here.
We're focused on getting in the playoffs. And you know, I was going to say that, and that's what I'm going to say. Like, I'm very happy here. Look, we have a job to do to build this thing. We started where we started, and we've built up from underneath, and we have a lot of really good young players that are just starting to scratch the surface of their talent. I think our team is starting to scratch the surface of its talent. It's really, really fun to watch.
Look, the short answer he gave was actually part of a much longer answer, so I don't want to misrepresent this and say Mike Hazen was deliberately trying to be short with Wolf and Luke when he was on earlier today. But he said, I get it. You have to ask the question about whether I'm interested in the Red Sox or whether they're interested in me. That's your job. It's also my job to not answer that question. And then he went on to say,
financial purposes. I mean, for the simple reason, if somebody's interested in you, it very likely is going to cost the team that has you more money. Like, okay, somebody's interested in me. I can't leave. I'm under contract for 2 years, but, you know, maybe to get you an extension. Maybe it increases your salary a little bit. Hey, you know, if you're making $1 million and somebody wants to pay you two, you're making two and somebody wants to pay you four. I mean, it's gonna favor Mike Hazen to put himself in that position. Same thing happened with Cliff Kingsbury. There was this crazy rumor that a college wanted Cliff Kingsbury and Michael Budwell, all of a sudden, Cliff's got a 5-year contract extension.
Yeah.
And what was that? What school is that?
Oklahoma.
Was that
Oklahoma?
Oh, it was Oklahoma, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Oklahoma.
It was Oklahoma.
And though there was always a part of me that wondered if Cliff's own agent put that out there to get Cliff to raise, right?
Probably.
It's like, come on. Eric
Burkhardt, probably.
If you're new to the conversation, you don't know what we're talking about. There have been a couple of reports over the last couple of days, including Buster Olney on national TV, who suggested that the Red Sox might view Mike Hazen as their number one target for their chief baseball guy, right? And so Hazen comes on with Wolf and Luke today. They have to ask the question. He knows it's coming. He's got an answer prepared. He went on to say that building the team is the joy for me.
Look, when you do these jobs, like building it is the joy, right? Obviously, we all want to see it win. Don't get me wrong. Building it to a winner is what is the ultimate. But the building part of it is what motivates people on a daily basis to work in this game. You know, to deal with the 3 hours of anxiety you get every night is watching guys like Corbin Carroll, Alec Thomas, Moreno, you know, Brandon Pfaadt, all those guys come up and perform for us. That's the really fun part.
Yeah, it's a headline in the Boston Globe, like their major newspaper. It's a big story with Mike Hazen's photo on it. Red Sox reportedly interested in reunion with former GM Mike Hazen. He spent 11 years with the Red Sox, winning the American League East in his only year as the Red Sox GM. And so, like, there is that that too, that it's prominent in the Boston paper.
Sure. I mean, the report's been out there for 48 hours now, right? I first heard about it on Sunday evening. Now, you mentioned the contract extension. Credit to Wolf and Luke. They asked the questions that needed to be asked.
Has there been any dialogue between you and the Diamondbacks on an extension?
I don't talk about those things, Wolf, one way or another. I tell the beat guys the same thing. Like, it's that my personal situation is not something. And same with players and extensions. Like, I wouldn't answer that question one way or another.
He was very polite about it. It was the same tone he took to the question about the Red Sox job. Like mm-hmm. It's your job to ask. It's my job to not answer. He knew the questions were coming. He knew it was going to come up. He answered them exactly the way you would expect them to. And now we'll see. We'll see if the Red Sox pursue him. We'll see if,
I don't think that they would grant him permission to speak to the Red Sox. Red Sox have to go through the Diamondbacks, ask for permission. We know that. 2 years left on the deal. What I was told yesterday, it's a two-way contract, right? Mike Hazen signed a contract that protects him, and we signed a contract that protects us. So unless he actually came to them and said, I'm really unhappy here, but that would be totally new because he's not. He is happy here. And what I was also told yesterday is that, you know, Mike wants to see this through. Like, that Mike really wants to see this through. Like, they're right on the verge of having something that might have sustained success for a while. And you may not want to leave that. Like, you're right there where your big payroll decisions are off the books now. Madison Bumgarner is gone. Right? So you're going to have some money that's going to be freed up. Nick Ahmed's contract is gone. So you start to look at the money that's been freed up, the younger players that you have, and and the players that are coming up and feel like, I might have something that's going to be a winner here for the next 5 years. I don't think he wants to leave that.
I don't know Mike well enough to know. I know how, what his thinking is on this one. I think the real X factor in this one is Mike, and not so much whether he's unhappy, but does he think he'd be happier in Boston? Is that, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is that the dream job that he's always wanted? And now that it's here, does he, not that he's unhappy here, it doesn't mean that he's unhappy here, but if that's the dream job you've always wanted, again, I don't know Mike. I know Mike, but I don't know Mike well enough to say I'm familiar with his deepest thoughts on this. If he views that Red Sox job as his dream job, the one that he's always wanted, I don't know. Does he go to the Diamondbacks and say, hey, I like it here, but man, I got a shot here. This is the one I've always wanted.
Yeah.
Will you work with me here? Can we make something? I don't know. I don't know what's going to. Sounds like, based off of what you're saying, the Diamondbacks would not be super willing to let him go. So then it really becomes a question of how badly does he want to go.
I just sent this to Mitch. We'll turn this around for one of our segments coming up. But that was back in September 19th of Mike Hazen on what it meant to become. This is in 2015, excuse me. Mike Hazen on what it meant to become the general manager of the Red Sox when he got named the GM in 2015. So there is some sound on that. We'll get that for you. We got a lot of D-back segments coming up and, you know, during the show. So we'll turn that around as quick as we can and get you that. But he did speak on, and I'd like to hear it because I haven't heard it, but what it meant to him when he was named the Red Sox GM in 2015. Remember, it was a title and name only. He wasn't calling all the shots at that time.
Right, right.
You know, obviously, he was named the GM, but it was almost like being an offensive coordinator that doesn't call the plays.
When we come back, the NFC, after 2 weeks, the dominant conference in the NFL. How did we get there? Because we weren't expecting that. We'll talk about it coming up on Burns and Gambo.